Good morning, Broadway. I trust that all is well, and we are, to assure you, we are working diligently to bring us back together for our congregational meetings. And it won't be long, but in the interim, we'll deliver a message today, and should anyone have any issues or anything you'd like to talk about or any concerns, please do not hesitate to give me a call. Today's lesson is going to be on Christian anxiety and fear. Christian anxiety and fear. And as Christians, we suffer those same maladies as the world in terms of Christians and fear, but we have antidotes that the world does not have. In times of uncertainty and thoughts of danger, it's perfectly human and normal to become fearful and anxious. There are no exceptions for Christians to this normal response to fear and anxiety. However, as Christians, we're provided with antidotes to both fear, uncertainty, and anxiety. Today's lesson will be a repeat of a Bible study that we did some time ago, about a year ago, and it was what the Bible says about anxiety and how we as Christians are to handle anxiety and deal with uncertain times as the times we're going through now. We shared this lesson with members of Broadway on Wednesday evening Bible study last year. And he goes, well, often when Christians meet fellow believers who deal with anxiety, whether temporary or chronic, they will sometimes quote Philippians 4 and 6. Christians sometimes, in times of uncertainty, quote Philippians 4 and 6. And it reads, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Paul says to present your requests to God in those times of uncertainty. We quote this verse to reassure ourselves that God is in control. No matter what the circumstances or life presents to us, God is still in control. It is to remind us to keep our minds on things above rather than earthly worries. In some cases, this can put an end to a conversation that many Christians find difficult or awkward to navigate, especially if they've not dealt with persistent anxiety before. No matter the reason, the Bible does have more to say on the subject of anxiety than a few words from Paul, and we'll share some of that today in today's lesson. This lesson will explore some people who dealt with anxiety in the Bible, just as we deal with anxiety today. In times of uncertainty today, the same is true of biblical figures. And the Bible is replete with people with uncertainties. It's part of the human condition. But we as Christians have a reservoir. We have a place of safety. And we'll get into that in a second or two. How we can address our feelings of anxiety or be a resource to a fellow believer dealing with worry and anxiety will be the touchstones for this lesson. Although those in biblical times probably would not have had a word for chronic or temporary anxiety, biblical writers did experience periods of worry, of anxiety, unease, sorrow, and yes, fear. This lesson does not address every case in which writers or people mentioned in Scripture experience anxiety, etc., but it will mention a few cases for today's study and to get reassurance from the fact that God has always taken care of his people and we are no exception. Some people who experience anxiety in the Bible include David, King David. One cannot talk about anxious thoughts without addressing the many Psalms of David, which cry out to the Lord in distress. For instance, in Psalm 69:29, David describes himself as in pain and afflicted. But as for me, afflicted in pain, may our salvation, God, protect me. David knew to cry out to the Lord in the presence of pain, in the presence of affliction. Circumstances such as King Saul seeking to kill David and his many enemies rising against him led David to fear for his life and for his future. Yet he sought out God in those times of anxiety. Another example from Scripture comes to us from Daniel. When confronted with terrifying visions, Daniel fainted and lay sick for days. David described his mental state as troubled in spirit because of the visions he saw. Daniel 7:15 says, "I, Daniel, was troubled in spirit, and the visions that passed through my mind disturbed me." When he saw what the future held, what terrifying rulers and powers would take hold of the future, it disturbed him, making him unable to do much for several days. In Daniel 8:27, it reads, "I, Daniel, was worn out. I lay exhausted for several days. Then I got up and went about the king's business." Remember that. Down and exhausted. And then Daniel decided, "I got up and went about the king's business. I was dismayed by the vision. It was beyond my understanding, but I went about the king's business." A note for us. Another example we take from Scripture, from Jesus himself. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus experienced such distress and apprehension, and his sweat turned to droplets of blood, Luke 22:14 says. Some doctors have attributed this phenomenon to what is known as hemidrosis, blood sweat. Doctors have linked this to one's fight or flight response. It can become so intense that we sweat blood, actually. It seems to be caused by extreme distress, anxiety, or fear. And we're talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. And if he was fearful at any time, we certainly should be fearful at times, but always rising above the fear, as did Jesus. For Jesus to sweat droplets of blood, he would have had so much apprehension that the blood vessels in his head would burst from the pressure and leak droplets of blood. What does the Bible say about anxiety specifically? Although people experience anxiety in the Bible, Christians should know what Scripture says about anxiety in general. And that'll be the crust of our lesson today. Christians can quote the verse of Philippians to reassure each other about God's control. But what does the Bible have to say beyond that? First, one can take a look at some of the examples about to see how these people confronted their anxiety. For instance, whenever David cried out to God in anguish, at the end of the psalm, he acknowledged God's power and plan. Psalm 13:5, a lesson for us. Regardless to what we go through, regard to what agitation we may have or apprehensions we may have, we can always acknowledge God's power and know the knowledge that God has a perfect plan for all of us. Psalm 13:5-6 reads, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praises, for he has been so good to me." And when we think, and we're starting to get down and started to thinking of ourselves as being exhausted, remember this psalm. "I will sing the Lord's praises, for he has been so good to me." That's applicable to all of us. God has been so good to us. David's example is a guide for all Christians to place their trust in God, even when anxious thoughts and worries can cause a Christian to feel the opposite way. Still rely on the rock. Rely on God's promises. In addition to how biblical examples deal with anxious thoughts, Christians can look to the following verses for guidance when it comes to anxiety or worry. 1 Peter 5 and 7 reads, Peter encourages Christians to cast their cares on God because God cares for them. This might mean giving worries to God, knowing he'll work all things for the good, and knowing that God is a better mechanic than we are on those things that need to be fixed. Turn it over to the Lord. Matthew 11, 28 says, Jesus tells us to come to him with the burdens that make us weary, and he will give us rest. Similar to the verse above, this seems to indicate believers should come to God with whatever makes them apprehensive, nervous, or worried. And he will exchange their loads for peace. There's solace in knowing that we can bring our loads of apprehension to the Lord, and he will exchange that for peace. Matthew 6, 25, 26 said, in these verses, Jesus seems to indicate Christians shouldn't worry about what they'll wear, eat, or drink. He mentions how God takes care of the birds of the air. And if he does so, aren't the humans even more important? And humans have greater value than birds. How much more will he pay attention to the needs of his people? God is an ever-present helper, an ever-present gardener, no matter what we go through. As for Christians who do not currently deal with anxiety, what should they do? Scripture encourages us to bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens. Be there. Be the shoulder for someone else to lean on. Galatians 6 and 2. Bear one another's burdens. The many burdens of life become too intense. But that's why we have the brotherhood, sisterhood. That's why we have God, to share those loads, share those burdens, so that we can move on and do those things to become better examples for the world itself. When a fellow brother or sister struggles with fears of what the future may hold, Christians should walk alongside, walk beside them as paracletes, I'll get into that a little later, and provide comfort and peace during volatile moments in life. Ours is a role of helper as a Christian. And when you help others, those things that seem so monumental to you lessens in terms of its weight. Because when you help others carry their burdens, your burdens becomes that much lighter because you've unshouldered it. What does this mean for Christians who struggle with anxiety? Believers will likely experience circumstances in life which will leave them anxious and apprehensive. None are immune from anxiety. No human is immune from apprehensiveness. Considering 40 million people in the United States, about 18% of the population experience chronic anxiety within any given year. Many Christians may struggle with crippling worry and fear. During such times as Christians, we should have the capacity and the willingness to, one, comfort and encourage each other. All Christians struggle, and it never helps to adopt a pharisaical attitude during a brother's or sister's greatest time of need. A pharisaical attitude being one that you must have done something wrong. Life has a way of evening itself out. We all go through dark periods, and we all have the light. And many times when we have that light or when we have that dark period, it is imperative that we use that opportunity to walk beside another brother or sister. Comfort and courage them. All Christians struggle. And it never helps to adopt that attitude. Provide for whatever needs a brother or sister has. Perhaps they have grown worried about where they'll get their next meal, worried about being lonely, worried about an illness. Be there with them, be there for them. God promises to provide for the needs of his people, but he often does so through other believers. God uses his people to help his people. Walk alongside them during the struggle. We will all face times in our lives where we need the love and support of our other believers. Someone who deals with anxiety may need that support right now. And what we need to do is be sensitive enough to realize if another person seems out of sorts, be there. Be there to help them carry whatever burdens they're carrying. As Christians, it's our responsibility to trust in the Lord and stand ready to walk beside one who is in pain. It's a Greek word known as paraclete. Be a paraclete. Paraclete itself is an advocate, one who pleads the cause of another, 1 John 2 and 1. It's used by Christ in John 14, 16, John 15, 26, and John 16, 7. The very same word, paraclete, is to describe the office or work of the Holy Spirit and translated as comforter, that is an advocate, a helper, an intercessor. As Christians, that is one of our chief responsibilities, to be an advocate, helper, or intercessor for one in pain, in doubt. This word, the use of this word was derived from the fact that the Jews, being largely ignorant of the Roman law and Roman language, had to employ Roman advocates in their trials before Roman courts. These were the paracletes, the advocates to speak for them. Christian aspirational goals should be, in John 1, 1 John 2 and 1 says, the paraclete is simply the Greek word for comforter. While in John's epistles, he uses the word as advocate. So comforter or advocate. My final word for you today is, be at peace and know that God is in control, regardless of the situation. Knowing his love for you, pray that he will be done, his will will be done, and be at rest, knowing that God loves you and wants only what's best for you. As I close today's lesson, again, I offer the invitation that should you need someone or you request someone to talk to, someone to be your paraclete, speak to another member or contact me. And we can have that conversation. Because one of the things for a Christian, no Christian should ever be alone. Because we always have God with us. But we also have our Christian brothers and sisters. And it's our responsibility to be there for one another. As I close this lesson, think to yourself, to whom may I be a paraclete or an advocate? To whom may I offer my services? To whom may I be there for in their need, time of need? As I close, may God bless you. May God strengthen you. May God guide you in your Christian walk as you fortify yourself through service to others. In Jesus' name, amen.